It's not always easy to find the positive. You might even need to search for happiness. Sometimes, just a little inspiration can make the difference. Here, it comes from unexpected places. Welcome to the Tangential Inspiration Podcast.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Amy.
We are two ordinary moms
looking for inspiration wherever we can find it.
So, Amy, best part of last week. Well, this is such a fun time of year with all the holidays.
It is. Well, you know, I have a childhood friend I've known since third grade. She lives in Sherwood. And we get together once in a while. And we met up and had a bite to eat. So that was kind of fun just to catch up.
Yeah. And it's always nice. Especially post, I mean.
Before the holidays.
Hopefully with COVID being behind us more so than,
Well, so fun. It was nice. Hey, I have a few updates on some folks we chatted about previously on our podcast. Remember Mike, we talked about Michael J. Fox in episode 33. I just heard an article about him, which I was really pleased to say that he was really in a good place now, which is kind of neat. Yeah. But as we talked too, it's, you know, the article was saying like 3 years ago, he was in that dark space after years of battling Parkinson's disease, which he's always managed to find the bright side, you know. But unfortunately, he had spinal surgery to remove a tumor. Aww. I remember shortly thereafter getting out of the hospital, he had a fall, and it set him back, both physically and emotionally. But he talks about how he drew upon his family's support to heal and rehabilitate. Plus, he focused on his foundation, which to date, I guess, has raised more than $1 billion. So that's so awesome for Parkinson's disease. But and the other cute thing, there. Him and his wife, Tracy, are empty nesters now. And so they sold their home in New York and they're now renting. They started renting in Santa Barbara for a couple months and then they're going to go down the road to Malibu and they're just kind of checking out places, which is, I think that's kind of fun. But the other update I have was on the Royals. We chatted about in episode 28, Lady Diana. I just read the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Will and Kate, are in the news for their Earthshot Prize Award. Earthshot prizes the Royal Foundation to 5 winners every year for their contributions in environmentalism, which is so awesome. Yes. But Teresa, you'll love this. Kate wore an upcycled dress. It's 10 years old. So fitting for the event. But I don't know. It's so cool. I just love learning about these inspiring people. It just makes me hopeful.
Well, and I, so episode 16, we talked about Lady Gaga and she, so there was that kindness challenge in September.
Oh yeah.
And I signed up for it, obviously, you know, we talked about it and, she did like a short little video. So if people look up on Born This Way Foundation, they'll find her video where she talks about different people and just ways that you can reach out and be kind.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. I love that.
Kindness all around.
You know, Bangladesh is, you know, been in the middle of a devastating water and sanitation crisis. More than 1.8 million people in Bangladesh lack access to, like, improved water sources. 36 million lack some sort of sanitation, making it especially tough right now navigating COVID, you know. But this horrific crisis is triggered by climate change, resulting in cyclones and rising sea levels. These climate assaults are causing embankments to erode and causing flooding in the rice paddies, contaminating ponds that traditionally people relied on for drinking water. The really unfair part of this story is Bangladesh only makes up 1% of the global greenhouse gas emissions. So these climate
they're paying the consequences they're playing for the rest of us.
Exactly.
That are,
these climate changes are global but have outsized the impact in Bangladesh. Climate change is caused by us, the larger, richer countries far away, releasing the enormous amounts of emissions. The salt water is not only affecting crops and agriculture, but it's affecting the marine ecosystem, reducing fishing populations and people's livelihoods that depend on them. A group of women led by Sophia Khatun are banded together. They're called Mothers Parliaments and 9 elected group of women who advocate for suitable and affordable access to water. Mothers Parliaments were established in 2017 with the support of the Organization of Rural Poor. These women meet 3 times a year to discuss WASH, which stands for water, sanitation, and hygiene. They meet with local government institutions to advocate and solve local issues. Sophia says the big cyclones used to hit her community once every 25 years, mm-hmm. and now it's every 2 to 3 years. Mm. Her focus isn't just on eliminating the greenhouse emissions, which is crucial.
Yeah.
She wants to also help with the immediate consequences of climate change, particularly with the rebuilding of embankments. These embankments are failing, and they're supposed to hold back the storm surges of salt water and preventing floods of, you know, fields and homes. Yeah. So as well as creating a better water source and infrastructure, they have made some improvements, some interesting ones. They've one is a communication system that sends out warnings on impending cyclones. They create a network of shelters for people to find refuge from the storms. Through this warning system, they're now able to safely evacuate people in the millions, which
wow.
they'd lose people.
We just don't even get this.
You know, Another example, researchers have developed new types of crops that are more tolerable to salt water. So they're making these kind of strides. Mm-hmm. They also collect rainwater during monsoon season, which has been beneficial. Even though Bangladesh has adopted some ways of managing their water crisis, more changes need to be addressed. And I'm just inspired by this woman, Sophia, being vocal about the needs of her community and leading a group of women to advocate for change. I read it. It's really cool. They won a Water Changemaker Award.
That's awesome.
I know. Well, this Water Changer organization, not only does it award groups, but it also connects these communities globally so they can learn from one another, which I think is really awesome.
Well, I love that it's, once again, girl power.
It's girl power. And I love that it admits that they've had made some progress. Yeah. So that's
awesome.
Really cool.
Awesome.
Now, recently I saw something about Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and I was intrigued, especially after New Zealand's response to COVID. She was determined to avoid high death tolls. She immediately closed the border to international travel and imposed a month-long nationwide lockdown.
Which I know that we were
all doing this.
Them.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
Were, like, look, they are setting them. A great example.
And I'm sure it was a tough decision.
Absolutely.
But she asked her countrymen to work from home and stop seeing friends and family. She asked New Zealanders to show empathy and generosity to one another. She said, "We are all now putting each other first, and that is what we need to, that is what we do well as a nation. So New Zealand, be calm, be kind, stay at home, and break the chain."
I love that.
And you're probably wondering what that break the chain, I had to look it up. So it means just breaking or disrupting problematic patterns of behavior. But
I love the be calm, be kind.
Yeah.
Think of others.
Well,
is what she's, yeah.
That's her whole message. And that's what I love about this woman.
I'm excited to learn about her.
So New Zealand is a small country about the size of Colorado.
Oh, okay.
About 5 million people. It's known for its beautiful forests and mountains, waterfalls, herding sheep and wool, for sailing and beautiful seasides. And even though it's a small country, this extensive lockdown was not an easy task. But because New Zealand acted early and swiftly, they were able to flatten the COVID infection rate, which resulted in having the lowest death rates per million people. I looked up just recently on the World Health Organization showing that they had 7,740 cases total, and they had 33 deaths. So definitely, I was like, I'm so impressed with this response. It made me curious about New Zealand's leader.
Well, and I remember early on with the pandemic running with you, and each day would be the latest stat.
I'm kind of a numbers gal. So I was like, that's, to me, that really kind of
impressive.
Piqued my interest.
I get it.
But as I, you know, digged into my research, I kept reading adjectives like kindness, empathy, and strength used to describe her. So I seriously had
to know. Sound like good tattoos.
I know. I seriously had to know more about this woman. So Jacinda was born in 1980 in Hamilton, New Zealand. Her dad was a police officer. Her mom worked in a school cafeteria, which I can relate to because I was a lunch lady too. She has an older sister, Louise, and she was raised in the Mormon faith, which I think is probably where she developed this strong sense of right or wrong.
She only had one older sister?
One older sister, okay. Yeah. And the other neat thing I read about her, she was very empathetic even at a young age. Like, she was keenly aware of social inequalities when she saw, like, when they moved to this smaller town in Murupara, she was deeply impacted by seeing kids not having enough to eat at lunch or seeing a boy in the middle of winter with no shoes. Mm-hmm. These observations raised a lot of questions in her heart. And her parents were also huge role models. Her mom was particularly influential in teaching her the meaning of kindness. If her mom saw someone in need, she'd be the first to help. And I also read that she was really admired and inspired Nelson Mandela, who we need to do sometime.
Yes, we do need to. Oh my gosh. So speaking of Nelson Mandela, we do need to do him, but I'm reading Denzel Washington's book because I will be doing him next time. But one of the chapters is by Muhammad Ali, and the person who inspired him the most, he talks about Nelson Mandela. So
very cool.
I love it. I love the connections.
So Jacinda was a good student. At a young age, she was very vocal about what she thought was right. In high school, the dress code required girls to wear skirts, which Jacinda thought was unfair and unequal. And I love that she worked with school officials to change the dress code so girls could wear pants. So she also had a stint in high school working as a DJ, which was really fun. I saw these really cool pictures of her DJing, but which is kind of cool. I guess there's a Spotify of her playlist called Spinoff Jacinda Ardern DJ Set. She does that like through her early 20s. Besides DJing, Jacinda grew interested in politics and joined the Labor Party when she was 17.
Oh my gosh, so young.
Yeah, really young. The Labor Party is left-leaning, and whereas the National Party is right-leaning. There are also three smaller parties, just to give us education, Green, ACT, and Maori. Jacinda's aunt played a role introducing her to politics. Her aunt was a member of the Labor Party for years and offered to teach Jacinda about politics. So she went and lived with her in New Plymouth and helped MP, Member of Parliament, Harry Denhoven run for election. In 1999, she began studying politics and public relations at the University of Waikato. And after graduation in 2001, she began working for Labor MP Phil Goff. Shortly after that, she joined the staff of Helen Clark, who had just won her second term as prime minister. And Helen Clark became a mentor and gave Jacinda advice and really helped shape her political career. They both supported keeping New Zealand free of nuclear weapons, really cool.
I love that they're so progressive that they have women leading them.
Right. I think there was only one other female prime minister in New Zealand, but prior to Helen. But Jacinda took advantage of what they call a working holiday. It's where young adults can go work in foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And she went to work for Tony Blair, Prime Minister of the UK. Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, capitalized on that opportunity, worked with small businesses. Then in 2007, she was elected president of an international union of socialist youth. This is a cool organization. It was founded in 1907. Their goal is to reduce poverty by improving education and promoting equality for women.
Oh.
This group comes from more than 100 countries. And as president, she got to visit countries like Jordan, Israel, Algeria, China, and many other countries. So it was a fabulous opportunity. In 2008, she returned to New Zealand, and the Labor Party chose her to run for a seat in her home district of Waikato. This district, the Labor Party was really conservative, and unfortunately, Jacinda lost the election. But at 28, she received a seat in Parliament.
Still so young.
I know. When the Labor Party selectors a list of MP, basically that's member of Parliament. Mm-hmm. And so she was the youngest MP and became the spokesperson for youth affairs.
I feel like I need to go back to school.
Yeah, I know. Well, yes, she's really incredible. Well, and youth affairs works to create opportunities for New Zealand's young people. Okay. And so, unfortunately, she had some setbacks, but in 2011, she got to work on two bills. One would allow same-sex couples to adopt children, and the other would reduce childhood poverty, which I didn't realize that childhood poverty was so prevalent in New Zealand. It affects 1 in 5 children. Yeah, it's really, it's very sad. Really sad. But her political career really took off in 2017. And she ran for seat of MP and won by a large majority. Later that year, she was chosen to be deputy leader of the Labor Party. And her campaign really focused on families. Besides the staggering number with childhood hunger, there's also a high rates of domestic violence.
It's interesting.
It's really interesting. It's horrifying, really.
Hmm.
A child in New Zealand went to the hospital every other day for injuries caused by family members, either by or by neglect. So, and housing was another problem. New Zealand had a higher percentage of homeless people than any other wealthy country.
I wonder why.
And so, plus, folks could not afford the heat their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacinda spoke to voters about these issues and told them the Labour Party would provide money to help with housing and heat. She also was concerned about the college debt of young people and keeping New Zealand a nuclear-free zone, which meant the country would have no nuclear weapons. And I love that. And that it not only promotes peace, but also protects the environment from damages caused by nuclear testing.
Which we know, being in the Pacific Northwest with the Columbia being just...
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Yeah. She's been a strong supporter of preventing, you know, climate change, which I love. But Jacinda pledged to have renewable electricity by 2035. Parliament created the Green Investment Fund to aid industries that would work with clean technology. You know, she was popular among voters for her positive down-to-earth approach of, you know, focusing on family and the environment. The media coined the name Jacinda Mania as a result of her popularity. Then on October 25th, 2017, Jacinda became New Zealand's youngest prime minister in 150 years at 37, and only the third female prime minister.
But still ahead of us.
Ahead of us. So I just, wow. And then a year later, she gave birth to a baby girl, Neve. She only took 6 weeks off from maternity leave, and her partner, Clark Gayford, became a stay-at-home dad.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
So I cute. And...
What
I love this is, I think it's so cool. She made history by bringing her 3-month-old baby girl to a UN assembly. No other child's been on the UN assembly floor.
That's awesome.
And she's like, I get, you know, she received, you know, startling reactions, of course, but I love her response that she's like, this is a practical decision. You know, she's breastfeeding. So she had to bring her child along. So, and she said that she hoped that this would change the perspective of leaders having children while ruling. She predicted that one day it'll be normal. You know, I admire that how she talks about motherhood and being prime minister, saying, I'm not just the first woman to multitask. I'm not the first woman to work and have a baby. I think what's so amazing is that she did not think that being a mother should be a reason to pull back on responsibilities as a leader. Plus, her partner, also willing to stay at home, I just think it's so refreshing.
It is.
She's a fantastic leader, you know, during crisis. And I have to say, one of the bleakest days in New Zealand history was on March 15th, 2019, when terrorists attacked two mosques in the town of Christchurch. 51 innocent people died, and it devastated the Muslim community in all of New Zealand. Yeah. This happened just 16 months after Jacinda became prime minister, so she's really new. But shortly after the attacks, she visited the Muslim community and spoke to leaders. She showed respect by covering her head with a hijab. She was truly moved by the tragedy, and she tearfully told them the whole country was united in grief. She pledged to cover funeral costs of all 51 victims and offered financial assistance to the families. And I'm blown away by this piece. Within 1 month after the shootings, she passed a law banning semi-automatic weapons.
Australia did something similar.
As changing the license regimen, which I think is just impressive in the amount of time. Yeah. She's definitely a lady of action.
Well, they took it seriously.
Yeah, I just love that. And I guess
what people. They're people. People matter. Yeah.
And what I think touched me the most after researching her is that the matters of the heart, her deep connection with the people of New Zealand and how She was there with the Muslim community after the shootings. There's these pictures of her just embracing people. And, you know, I was reading the how she just trusts her instincts. And she taught herself to sit with a decision for a while. Mm-hmm. If it didn't feel right, not to be afraid to try a different decision. I love that she talks about kindness, saying it's not, you know, it's not being afraid to be kind or to focus on or just really being driven by empathy. She says that we as leaders need to empathize with the next generation that we're making these decisions for. Seriously, the more I read about this woman, the more I admire her. And she has a great sense of humor.
Even better. I love someone with a sense of humor.
She was on Stephen Colbert a couple times. And the last time I guess she was on the show, she invited Stephen to come to New Zealand and said she'd pick him up at the airport. So I found the video on YouTube and it's hilarious. She literally picks him up at the airport. And, you know, he's his usual funny self. He's got, like, the thing around the neck. I think he's got slippers on that are, like, kind of animal-like.
Gosh, yeah.
He gets in the car, and he's messing with her phone. And
I love Stephen Colbert.
He's so funny. Yeah. And then he's like, well, you know we can't sing because that's gonna cause problems with, you know, James Corden. Well, then all of a sudden they break out in Queen's Bohemian Raps. You know, they go, Galileo, Galileo. They go back and forth. It is hilarious. And then in the middle of this, he's asking, you know, I just want to know what the paperwork so I can become a citizen of New Zealand. It's so funny. And they pull up to her house and then they're in her living room. And as he's interviewing her, he's like, I'd love to officiate your wedding. And she's yelling back to her husband, who's in some back room, what's your thoughts on that? And he's like, can we talk about this later?
Because he's just Catholic. I think he's Catholic.
I don't know. So, but it's cute.
I'm sure he'd be willing to become ordained in order to officiate the wedding.
Right, right. So then I just love it. And so then they're in their backyard, they're having a barbecue, and then Lord's there, you know?
Wow.
It's just so funny. But I admire her humble nature, and she doesn't take herself too seriously.
Another good quality.
And, you know, I love that she not only talks about kindness and empathy, she embodies it. She asks her fellow New Zealanders to do the same. And she really cares about the needs of her, you know, fellow New Zealanders, which is evidence in the focus of, you know, childhood poverty, affordable housing, and gun safety. She's an earth changer.
Love that.
And I'm just blown away by her approach. It's just so kind of community, talking to people. She's definitely
common sense.
Yeah, she's definitely an excellent role model for tackling being a prime minister, for being a mother, for leading with kindness and empathy.
Mm-hmm. More of that.
Visiting New Zealand is now on my bucket list.
Mind you.
Leadership is not about necessarily being the loudest in the room, but instead being the bridge or the thing that is missing in the discussion and trying to build a consensus from there. Jacinda Ardern.
For those of you that have been listening to our podcast for a while, you know that Amy and I often start off an episode asking each other what the best part of our week has been. One thing that I've noticed when Amy and I have done something to help others, that's usually one of our favorite parts of the week. Whether it's picking up trash while we're plogging or dropping off a meal for someone, preparing meals for the homeless, or collecting food in our food drive, those are always the best part of our week. There's just something about helping others that makes you feel good. And apparently there's actually a causational link between helping others and happiness.
Oh.
Researchers at the University of British Columbia have been studying the link between kindness and happiness, which I love all of this because so there's more kindness.
There's some science behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Chemicals in our brain or what?
Elizabeth Dunn is a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia. And she's been studying happiness for years. Professor Dunn says studies have shown a causal link when people behave in this generous, kind way, they actually end up happier themselves.
Wow.
Which I totally buy. She goes on to say, frankly, I find it very reassuring that humans have this sort of built-in tendency to experience joy from helping others. One experiment that researchers at the University of British Columbia conducted was to give out $5 and $20 bills to randomly chosen students on campus. The students were told to spend the money by the end of the day. Half of the students were told to spend the money on themselves, and the other half were told to spend it on someone else.
I love that.
I know, it's a it gets better.
Okay.
They weren't told the purpose of the study. The same students were later asked about their day and asked how to rate how happy they felt.
Oh.
The students, you can guess, who spent the money on someone else rated themselves as feeling happier than those who spent the money on themselves. Professor Dunn says that the study suggests that treating others with kindness works better than treating ourselves in achieving a higher degree of happiness.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Professor Dunn is quick to point out that this doesn't mean that self-care isn't essential, especially during a pandemic. Taking care of yourself is also critical. However, overall happiness can be improved by doing things for others. Another study released earlier this year analyzed 126 other research projects covering more than two decades and analyzed the data collected, which included over 200,000 participants. All of the studies were screened for good data analysis practices and ensuring that they were following the proper scientific methods. The study looked in particular at studies measuring happiness in different ways, particularly in relation to mental and physical happiness.
Yeah.
I love these studies.
Yeah. It's curious. You kind of go.
I know. It's like yours where now I'm curious to look into New Zealand's history and government and all of that. But the results showed over and over again that those who practiced kindness tended to have higher well-being than those who focused primarily on themselves. While the data didn't show that acts of kindness were a magical formula for happiness, the results showed higher levels of happiness in people who performed kind acts on a regular basis. Interestingly, the study also showed that random acts of kindness, like spontaneous giving of a meal to a homeless person, on the whole created more feelings of happiness than more formal acts of kindness, such as volunteering at a soup kitchen. That might stem from the act of kindness feeling more like a gift than part of a job or a process.
Organic,
as an act of feeling more personal. Other things that came out of this study, women tended to benefit from acts of kindness more than men. And young people were happier when they helped old people. People who helped others had a higher level of self-esteem. To a lesser extent, people who did acts of kindness experienced less anxiety and depression. They had improved physical health. The links to improved physical health were most pronounced in older adults, which I totally buy.
Yeah.
Researcher Elizabeth Medlarski says that being kind may make us feel better about ourselves as a person, confirm our self-confidence, distract us from our own trouble and stressors, give us a warm glow feeling, or help us be more social connected with others. All of these could potentially improve our well-being, reducing our stress, improving our mood, or providing community. The Dalai Lama said it simpler. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. So I say go spread some kindness and we'll all get happier. I just love that.
So cool.
This is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Getting to know Amy. So, your favorite Christmas tradition?
Well, I think it's in my family. Growing up, we go to midnight mass and come home and open one present.
Oh.
Which is kind of a special thing.
Really? Was it midnight?
It was midnight. And I just love that. And just being up late as a kid.
Yeah.
And it was candlelit, you know. So.
Do you have, so that's probably part of your favorite Christmas memory.
Well, it's probably, The other thing, in Texas, I grew up in Texas for a couple of years, and they would light lanterns, with brown paper bags, sand, and a candle, and we'd walk around the neighborhood. Everybody did it. You put it out, and it was just these little lantern things they did.
Mm-hmm.
That was something we did at Christmas time. So, it was kind of fun.
We need to bring that here.
Yeah, it was simple.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I like Elf because I like Will Ferrell. I'm more of the goofball. Like, I'm going to say I also like the Daddy's Home too because that's the Christmas one too. And I kind of like the comedy.
And you loved the Eurovision.
I love Eurovision.
Tried
I know.
To watch it.
I didn't like it the first time, but now I've seen it a trillion times and I love it. So
it's better each time.
It gets better. It's like cheese. It's better.
What is a favorite gift you've either received or given?
I think my favorite gift, I was thinking about that today walking. My sister, when I was like in second grade, made me doll clothes.
Mm.
Out of scraps of, like, my mom would make clothes. And mm-hmm. so she made doll clothes for my dolls. And I had like these two twins. I just loved it. Like pants and little tops. And actually, I saved those and gave those to the girls, aww, what they use for their American Girl dolls and their stuffed animals. And, you know.
That's sweet.
So
Lizzie Velasquez, who I chatted about. She like had doll clothes for her, that those were her clothes, and then she got to use them with her dolls. So she was like, I saved my parents all sorts of money with getting to dress me in these clothes, and then I got to dress my dolls in these clothes too. So do you have a favorite Christmas song?
You know that song that's John Lennon and Yoko Ono?
Oh my gosh.
This is Christmas. Yes. That's been playing a lot on the radio. I just love that song. It's just, there's something about it.
It's a very peaceful,
it's loving very peaceful song.
Good song.
A good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination. Nelson Mandela. Thanks for listening to Tangential Inspiration. We really want to hear from you. Email us your comments or story suggestions at tangentialinspiration@gmail.com or leave a comment on our website, tangentialinspiration.com.
Our website has all our podcast episodes, show notes, stories, follow-ups, and links to websites and books we talk about. Like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, and you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a great week.